All right, Jabal, say good morning. Mm. Let's be. Thank you. Let us begin today's daf. Today's daf is Mem Dalet. We have a lot to do today. Actually, we are picking up on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and we left off with Visharis Lamatayim Masha. So we'll say we are before the lines get wide. I don't really want to count up the lines from the bottom. It's a little depressing. We're going to do from three lines before the lines get wide. Last word on the line, Visharis. We'll do this last piece quickly, and then we're going to begin the Mishnah Nusugya. Our learning this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah response to the month of Kislev, Chashan Becker Friedman, the Eli Nishmas Chash's father, Yisrael Yehuda, Ben Rav Chaim Rafal, on the occasion of his first yard site, Semi and Malka Estherson, the Eli Nishmas, their parents, Yitzchok, Le Ben Aaron HaKohen, Sa Rachel Bas Baruch, and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the family a Nechama. Also with that, let us begin. V'sharis lo time mashu. So also remember again, picking up mitzugya a little bit from where we left off yesterday. Is it true that a sheretz is not metame b'mashu? V'anantanan ha'ivarim ein lahen shir. So also we learned in the Mishnah that ivarim, a limb, an intact limb, doesn't have a shir. Which means it will say even if a limb is intact and it's smaller than the particular shir, it still conveys tuma. Pachos mikizayis basrames. Upachos mikizayis basra nevela. Upachos mikhaadasha min hasheretz. So we'll see over here that lamaise, if you have a limb of a sheretz that's even less than an adasha, it still conveys tuma. To which the Gemara says, shiny aver de kulim makam adasha kai. When you have an intact limb, that's different, right? An intact limb has a chashivos that transcends ultimately, again, normative shiurim. The ha ilu chaser purta aver mikamatamya. Because, for example, if the aver itself was missing something, would the aver convey tuma? So, of course, the answer to that is no. So you see from here that what? That it's the aver itself, it's the identity of an aver that ultimately conveys tuma. Shikva zer de chaluka tuma soma. So also remember again, yesterday we quoted the Braisa that said that shikvas zera is chaluka. What does that mean? Ilema ben Yisrael adinachrim. See, if you want to say that there's a distinction in halachos of shikvas zera between Jews and non-Jews, Hachanami, so you could say the same thing by Shratzim. Shratzim also has chilukim. Ika achbar diyam va achbar diyabasha. It will say there was something called the achbar of the sea and achbar of land. Achbar of land is a sheretz. Achbar of the sea was not. Ella being cut on the gadol. Rather says the Gemara, the chiluk in shikva zera is the shikva zera of a gadol ultimately conveys tuma, the shikvas zera of a katan does not. Some Rapapa says, Kitanoi. In reality, this entire thing is a machlokas. So also remember again, the subject matter that we're in the middle of discussing over here is trying to figure out the distinction, or whether or not there is a distinction. When it comes to shikvas zera, we know that roa is bimashahu, right? That ultimately, again, any amount of emission conveys tuma to the person who has the emission. The shaila is, what about nogeya? What about if somebody touches shikva zera? So is that also a din in mashahu, or does that have a larger shir like chadasha? To which the Gemara says, in reality, this is a machlokis tanoi. Minayin the rabbos nogeya b'shikva zera. From where do we know that if someone touches shikva zera, ultimately they're tamei? Tamad lomar o ish upligi tanoi ba'amo. Di'ikadam, rabbos, listen to this. Here's what we know. We know that there's a connection between shikva zera and sheretz. So the shaila is how, based on the psukim, the shaila is how much do we learn out from that comparison? So the ikad da amri don mine umina, the ikad da amri don mina v'uki ba'asra. So also remember again, we've seen this principle before about a fundamental machlokis. When you learn out B from A, you learn out B from A. So do you learn out all of the qualities of B from A? That's don mine umina. Or do we say, no, I learn out a quality of B from A, but the rest of the qualities of B are understood from B itself. That's called don mina v'uki ba'asra. Learn out from it, but go ahead and establish it in its place. So you'll see how this plays out. L'man damar don mina umina. So we'll say, listen to this. Ma sheretz b'negia, ashech v'azera b'negia. Just like sheretz is tamei b'negia, right, with contact. So too, Shikva Zeres Tayyim Benegiya as well. Umina, and I continue to learn out from Sheretz and say what? Ma Sheretz Bechadasha, Ash Shikva Zeres Bechadasha. Just like Sheretz ultimately again is Matayim Bechadasha, so too, Shikva Zeres. Ulamanda Amar Don Mina Uki Basra. So we'll say so again. So ultimately, again, according to this approach, shechva zera will be matami biriya b'mashehu, but b'negiya b'chadasha. Other opinion says ulamam damru dominavu ukibasra mash sheretz b'negiya, just like sheretz at the time b'negiya. Af shechvas zera b'negiya. So we'll say the comparison between sheretz and shechva zera teaches me that just like sheretz in the time b'negiya, so too shechva zera v'uki ba'asra, but establish it in its place. Mashich vas zera l'rab mashehu aflo gev mashehu. So we'll say, here's what everyone agrees on. Everyone agrees that re'ias shechvas zera is metame b'mashehu. That everyone agrees with. The shayla is, what is the shear for negia? So we'll say, so therefore, again, what do you see from here? This is fundamentally and wholly dependent on how you view the shechvas zera sheretz connection. So the first opinion says that connection goes the whole way. To teach you again, just like the comparison teaches you that just like sheretz is matayim b'negiya, so too shechva zera is matayim b'negiya. So we'll say that limud also teaches you the shear for negiya. Just like the shear for negiya by sheretz is chadasha, so too the shear for negiya by shechva zera will also be b'negiya. Second opinion says no. Says no. The comparison teaches me that shechva zera is matami b'negiya. But in terms of the shir for shechva zera, I'm not going to learn that out from sheretz. Rather, where am I going to learn that out from? I'm going to learn that out from shechva zera itself. Just like re'iya is metami b'mashu, so to negiya will be metami b'mashu. Incredible. Amalei Rav Huna b'Rav Nasa Rav Papa. Mimai, deme'o ish de sheretz kamabile. How do you know that you're learning this? What we saw in yesterday's daf. How do you know that I'm learning this out from the phrase of o ish? Dilma me o ish asher teisim en shechva zera kamar bilei. But say maybe I'm learning out the concept ultimately again of negia from the o ish of shechva zera itself. Udichuli alma don mine umina, and everyone will ultimately agree with the principle don mine umina. V'shalinu l'tana. So we'll say, so they ultimately asked and they said, this is a machlokis tanoim. Igad the tani kira papa, the igad the tani kira funa reidav nasa. So we'll say therefore again, this machlokis tanoim ultimately where this halacha is learned out from. So I will say, so bottom line, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? So the Rambam paskins by shechva zera, that by re'iya, it is a mashuhu, so any amount of zera emission will make the man tamei, but b'negiya, when it comes to contact with shechva zera, the shear is adasha. The shear is the size of a lentil. Good. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, here we go. Tinokes pas yom echad, mitame benida. So we've already actually seen this Mishnah before. We saw it quoted almost in its entirety the beginning of this week. So tinokes, so a baby girl, 1 day old, has the capacity to become tuma, to become a tame benida. Bas yud yamim, mitame beziva. Right? They will say, at the age of 10 days, she could become a zava. So let's remember again, we saw those 10 days. That's because, remember again, the way Zivos works is the first 7 days of the girl's life, we assume any blood is damni, though we saw this before. So really, if you think about it, the earliest she could become a Zava is at 10 days old. How so? Because Lamais, again, that would be 7 days of bleeding initially, or I should say, not 7 days of bleeding, 7 days of Nida. That if she were to bleed, she would become a Nida. That would trigger a 7 day period, and it only becomes a Zava Gidola when? After 3 days of bleeding post Nida days. So therefore, the earliest she could become a Zava would be at 10 days old. Tinok ben yom echad, a baby boy of 1 day old, mitame beziva. Right, so we'll say, so again, a boy could become a zav even from birth. Umitame benegaim, and ultimately, again, he's subject to tumas negaim, which is tsaras. So apparently, even a baby could contract tumas tsaras. Umitame betamemis. The Rebbe said, "Mitame betamemis." In this context over here, means as follows. Rashi points this out. What it means is that halacha lemaisa, if someone who's tamei meis touches the baby could contract tuma. So the baby could be makabel tuma from another person who contracted tumas meis. We'll see again the novelty in these ideas. V'zokeik liyibum, and Rebbe say again, he obligates in yibum, meaning what? Let's say again, Reuven dies, and Reuven has a 1 day old brother, right? Reuven dies at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That morning, Reuven's mother gives birth, so by the time Reuven dies, he has a 1 day old brother. Ultimately, again, the existence of that 1 day old baby will make Reuven's widow obligated in Yibum. So the Gemara says, "V'zokik liyubum upolcha min ayibum." And similarly again, if a man dies, and what? If you look at Rashi, upolcha min ayibum im nolad la'achar misas aviv v'chaya shah achas umes. Listen to this, if the baby was alive even for one moment before his father died, so the existence of that baby would what? Would go ahead and exempt his mother from Yibum. Umachil b'tshuma, and Abba said the existence of a one-day-old baby allows consumption of tshuma. We'll say, so in this case over here, this is a Yisraelis who married a Kohen. So if a Yisraelis marries a Kohen, she's permitted to eat tshuma. What happens if her husband dies? If her husband dies and there's no children, she can no longer eat truma. But halacha lemaisa, if she had even a one-day-old baby, halacha lemaisa, that baby allows her to go ahead and eat truma. Uposel min truma, and I will say the reverse is true as well. If a koheness married a Yisrael, right? So remember, if her husband dies without, and they don't have children, she could go back to her father's house and eat truma. If, however, again, they had a baby together, once she has a baby, that baby forever precludes her from going ahead and eating truma. We're going to see an incredible novelty in that case as well. Top of Nandalat Amad Aleph, Benochel Umanchil. And ultimately, again, such a baby, so I'll say literally translated, one day a baby has the ability to inherit and to bequeath. We'll see how that case plays out. Vahargo chayiv. If one kills a one-day-old baby, one is chayiv, right? That is a capital crime. That's shvichos damim. Vaharihu la'aviv uli'imo l'chol krovav ki chasan shalem. But we'll see the meaning of this strange phrase. And he is, this one-day-old baby is to his father and his mother like a full-fledged chasan. We'll see what that means. Says the Gemara, min hani mili. So I'll say, so number one, from where do I know this? What are we talking about? How do I know that a baby, a girl, could become a nida even from birth? So the Gemara says, the Tana Rabbanan, Isha, Eimli Ella Isha. So I'll say, the Pasuk says, by nida Isha. I don't know that applies, I'll say, I assume, to an adult woman. Basyom Echel Anida Minayin. How do I know that it applies even to a baby that's one of the old Tamalomar, V'isha. So we'll say the Vav HaRibui, right? That Vav comes to add, even a baby is subject to Nida. Basya, so we'll say, so just to understand, like Matthias, how does this play out? So we'll say, what this is talking about over here is that ultimately, again, if the girl is bleeding and we don't know what to attribute that dam to, so ultimately, again, you'll treat it like dam Nida. That's what we're saying over here. Basya Yom Leziva, so at 10 days old, she could become a Zava. Minahani, we don't know this from Tanar Rabbanan, Isha. Amy Ella Isha. So I will say, only know Isha means an adult woman. Adult woman is subject to the laws of Zav. Bas Yud Yamin Leziva Minayin. How do I know that it applies to a 10-day-old baby? Kamalomer V'isha. So I will say, same thing. The Vav always comes to add in something additional. So I will say, so just to be clear, the Vav Lav Dafka teaching about 10 days, right? The 10-day model is the fact that, remember, again, we assume that first blood is Nida, only that which comes after it is Zava. That's how you get to the 10 days. What it's talking about over here is that even a baby, so the Vav, adds in even a baby. So we'll say now we come to the baby who's one day old. So Menahani Mili, from where do I know this? So let's remember again, the first case over here was Tinok Ben Yom Echad Mitame Beziva, that a one-day-old baby could become a Zav. Where do I know this from? Tan Rabbanon. Ish-ish. Ma-tan-lamar. Ish-ish. Why does it have to say ish-ish? You could just say ish. L'rabos ben yom echa shavan tamim b'ziva. To Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, the extra ish comes to teaching that what? That even a baby has the ability to become tame as a Zav. Rabbi Shmuel ben Shal Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, Eino Tzarech. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch says, no, I don't like this Rasha. Harehu Omer v'hazav es zovo. L'zachar ulenekeva. So both say, so the Pasuk talks about the Zav Lizovo, right? The Zav and his emission. L'zachar ulenekeva. Then I both say, remember again, Zachar and Nekeva is a very interesting wording. Because what could the Pasuk have said? Ish o Isha. Zachar or Nekeva is a much broader category. What does it come to include? To which the Gemara says, L'zachar kolshu ben gadol ben katan, l'nekeva kolshihi ben gedola ben kitano. So we'll say Zachar and Nekeva comes to include male and female of any age. Of any age. So we'll say, so I want to just point out, they're agreeing, right? There's not a disagreement on the halacha, right? The halacha, everyone agrees that what? That halacha l'maisa, the halachas of Zivus, will ultimately apply even to a baby boy and even to a baby girl. So im kein ma tam lomar ish ish. So ultimately, again, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, what do you do with the drasha of ish ish? He says it's not a drasha. Dibra Torah kelasha menei adam. We'll say sometimes the Torah just employs the wording the way people speak. So ish ish was just a form of speech, but not meant to be a drasha. Good. Umetami ben Egoim. We'll say next, a baby could contract tumas negoim. So where do we know this from? Dichsev adam kieba ar bisaro. Because we'll say the pasuk says adam. Again, remember, adam is also a very non-descript term. So the Gemara Darshan's, what does adam mean? Adam koshu, any adam. Any adam, anyone who's considered to be adam, which includes who? Which includes even the babies. Umetame betame meis. And ultimately, again, the baby could contract tumas meis. So we'll say, what does that refer to? So the Gemara says, umatami to us, dichsev va'al hanafashos asher hayusham. Because we'll say, the pasuk says, just the pasuk is, this is talking about by the purification of paraduma, va'al hanafashos asher hayusham, all of the souls that were there, to which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, nefesh koldu. So we'll say, same idea. Nefesh also is a general, broad word, coming to include babies as well. Vizokek liyibum. And I will say, remember again, the presence of a one-day-old baby will obligate, or really a one-day-old brother of the deceased husband, will obligate the wife in yibum. Where do we know this from? Dichsiv ki yeshvu achim yachtov. But say the pasuk says, when brothers live, literally again, inhabit the world together. They're here together. Achim shahaya lahem yeshiva achas ba'olam. So we'll say what it means is, when does a brother obligate the widow in Yibum? When the two brothers were alive at the same time. So we'll say this is an important halacha. So for example, if Reuven were to die and his brother Shimon were born the next day, there is no obligation of Yibum in that circumstance. Yibum only comes about if the surviving brother was alive before the deceased brother passed away. The chiddush is, even if the surviving brother is what? Only a day old, right? The Havamino was, I would have thought maybe that the surviving brother has to at least be a bit older, right? Maybe fit for marriage, or if not fit for marriage, at least, I will say, I just want to point out that the major issue over here about a baby one day old is a lack of established viability, right? That's what's driving this. And we're going to see this is why the end of the Mishnah, right, is very interesting about treating the baby like a full-fledged living entity. But that's what's driving this. Even though at one day old, there's not necessarily an established viability, nevertheless, that's how we're treating this baby. So you're going to go ahead and say, if the baby's one day old, this woman is subject, ultimately, again, to Yibum, which is a dramatic idea. And I will say similarly again, if a woman has a one-day-old baby at the time that her husband dies, that baby also exempts her from Yibum. Because the pasuk says, because the pasuk says the deceased husband doesn't have a son. I'm sorry, and he has a son. And about say again, remember the case of the Israelis who married a Kohen, and now ultimately again Kohen dies, but leaves her with a 1-day-old child. So the presence of that child has the ability to allow her to continue to eat truma, even though she's no longer married to the Kohen. Dichsiv. So we'll say, because the pasuk says, literally, those who are born to the house of the Kohen, yochlu belachmo, can eat of his bread. Which we'll say means anyone who's a member of the Kohanic household is permitted to eat truma. To which the Gemara says, kari le ya'achilu belachmo. In other words, sometimes we'll say those members enable others to go ahead and eat truma. What's the case of others who enable others to eat truma? So again, that would be the case of the baby, right, who enables his mother, who is really Israelis, to continue to eat truma. Upo salmina truma. And I must remember again, this is a reverse case. A Kohenes marries a Yisrael. They have a child. The Yisrael then dies. So remember, again, I will say, if she didn't have a baby, let's say a Kohenes marries a Yisrael, her husband dies, she doesn't have a baby, what's the halacha? she goes back to her father's home, and she could once again enjoy Truma. The presence of that baby prevents her from going back to her father's home. She just can't eat Truma. So the Pasuk says, Vizera ein la, because the Pasuk says she doesn't have offspring. Amrachmana, Baha Isla. So the Pasuk says, when could she go back to her father's home and enjoy Truma? That's ultimately, again, Vizera ein la, which she doesn't have offspring. But she does have offspring in this case. So the Gemara says, "My iria zera." The Gemara says, "One second. You, in this case, you don't even need her to actually have offspring. It's enough that what afilu ubarnami." The Gemara said, "Interestingly enough, this halacha also applies even if what." Even if she's only pregnant. I will say, interestingly enough, the halacha is that in this case where a Kohenis married a Yisrael, right? And let's say the Yisrael dies and she's pregnant, she also can't go back to her father's home and eat Truma. So the Gemara is saying over here, why are you making it sound like it's only if she has a baby that she can't go back and eat Truma? Even if she is pregnant, she can't go back and eat Truma. To which the Gemara says, "Dichsev benuare, kinu areha." Prat lim uberes. So this is very interesting. When could she go back to her? We'll say the pasuk is ubaskoin tiel ish amano grusha vizera in law. If a baskoin marries a Yisrael and she gets divorced or she's widowed and she has no offspring, vishava abes avia kinu areha. She can go back to her father's home like when she was young. The Gemara Dashan will say when she was young comes to exclude a woman who's pregnant, right? Because if she's pregnant, she's not like she was when she was young. So the Gemara says, even if she's pregnant, halacha l'maaseh, she can't go back to her father's home and eat truma. So why are you making it sound like that? This is a din, ultimately, again, in having baby. Well, I'll tell you why. Tzrichi, we need both drushas. Dikasev rachmana v'zera inla. Because the Gemara says, if the pasuk would have just said, she can't go back to her father's home and eat truma, if she doesn't have offspring, Mishum Dimeikarachad Gufa Vahashta Tre Gufe. Because we'll say before when she was young, she was quote unquote one body, now she's two bodies. In other words, that reference to her and her child. That's why she can't go back. Avahacha Dimeikarachad Gufa Vahashta Chad Gufa Imatecho. We'll say in the case of pregnancy, where she left her father's home, she was one body, one entity, she goes back to her, and now even when she's pregnant, we'll say she's still one entity. You know, this reflects the idea of Uber Yerech Imo, right? Ultimately, again, the fetus is an extension of the mother, right? The fetus is a body part of the mother. So the Maisa, she's still Chad Guf, so maybe she should be able to go back and eat Shruma. Therefore, again, Kasav Rachmana Kinu Areha. Kinu Areha teaches me that no halacha lemaisa, that ultimately, again, she can only go back to her father's home if she was the same way when she was young, i.e., not pregnant. Now that she's pregnant, she can't go back and eat truma. Because of Rachmani kinu areha. And if the Gemara would have just said kinu areha, mishum demei kara gufa srika vahashta gufa malya. So you will say when she was young, gufa srika means she was an empty body. Now she is what? Now gufa malya. She is a full body. That's why she can't go ahead and go back. Aval hacha demei kara gufa srika vahashta gufa srika imatechel. Rabbi say when she has a baby, right? She left her father's home and she was quote unquote an empty body. Now she comes back and in this state she is still an empty body, right? She knows there's nothing else inside of her. Therefore, again, I might have thought she can eat truma. Therefore, tzvicha. So therefore, I will say, amazingly enough, we have two different halachas over here. So when a kohenes marries a Yisrael. And so again, obviously when she's married to the Yisrael, she cannot go ahead and eat truma, right? What happens if her husband dies or she gets divorced? So then it depends. Now what we see is if she's pregnant or has a child, halacha l'maisa, she cannot go back to her father's home and eat truma. The Gemara showed us why I need both of those drushes. So cry atara. So I'll say now I've answered up the psukim. Ela masnisin ma'iria ben yom echad. Afilu ubernami. So we'll say, see now the Kesha's on the Mishnah. So I don't understand, if that's the case, why does the Mishnah illustrate this principle with a one-day-old baby? The better illustration of this principle would have been what? A baby. A fetus. Right? Pregnancy. That would have been even a better illustration. Because we'll say, the truth is, once you illustrate it in a case of pregnancy, then it's obvious if she has a one-day-old baby as well. Once you tell me that a Kohenes who is pregnant and her husband dies cannot go back to her father's home and eat truma, then I know, of course, that what? Once she has a baby, even a one-day-old baby, she can't eat truma either. To which the Gemara says, this is incredible. Because we're talking about a Kohen who has two wives. Strike one. Right? Kohen who has two wives. We'll say, this is fascinating. Listen to this. Achas grusha, v'achas she'ina grusha. They will say, one of them is a divorcee, whom he married illegally. Right? He married illegally. And one of them is a kashrif. Now, remember again, we pass in halacha lemaisa, not like Rabbi Akiva. Right? Rabbi Akiva, this is incredible. Rabbi Akiva is the most machmir in this case. Rabbi Akiva says that kiddushin einam tov sin b'chai ve'lavin. That ultimately, again, kiddushin does not take effect in prohibited marriages. We don't pass it that way. The only time we say that kiddushin doesn't take effect is in our rayos. Right? If you're Mekadesh, your sister, that doesn't work. You're Mekadesh, one of that does, there's no Kiddushin. But if you Mekadesh someone who is usher to you because of a love, then ultimately, again, that Kiddushin does work. So a Kohen is not permitted to marry a Grusha. And every moment that a Kohen is married to a Grusha, he's living in a state of Isser. Nevertheless, the marriage itself still works. So for example, if this Grusha were to commit adultery, she would be an Ishes if she committed adultery and be liable to a death penalty for that. So the man who committed adultery would be liable to a death penalty for that. So let's listen to this. Case over here is the Kohen who married two women. One was a Grusha and one was a Kshera. And watch this. V'yeshlo banim misha'in a Grusha. V'yeshlo ben yom echa min a Grusha. Listen to this case. He has sons from the Grusha. From the Eina Grusha. So from the legitimate marriage, he has kids, however many kids, doesn't matter. Right? There are many sons. V'yeshlo ben yom echa min a Grusha. And watch this. He has one son from the Grusha who happens to be a day old on the day that the Kohen died. So, right? So Mazel Tov, that morning, the Kohen and his Grusha wife have a son. That afternoon, the Kohen dies. Now watch this. Deposel me'av de'aviv me'le'echo b'truma. Rebbe was saying, a case like this, while the estate, so to speak, I guess what we'll call is like in probate, right? Before the estate has been divided, none of the servants of the deceased Kohen can eat truma. Rebbe was saying, now watch this. Well, this is actually quite fascinating. So remember again, the halacha is, anyone who's a member of the household of the Kohen is permitted to eat truma, even his servants. So, and Rebbe was saying, and that is true. Again, but what's the problem over here? The problem over here is that one of the Kohen's inheritors is what's called what? A chalal, right? A disqualified Kohen, right? Not even a disqualified Kohen. He's not a Kohen. He's a chalal. So what's the problem? The problem is before the estate is divided up, the chalal owns, the way inheritance works, Rabbi Osei, is that when the father dies, all of the sons own everything, right? It's only then once the estate is, right? There's a whole machlokis about this, how exactly estate division works. But one thing is clear, before the estate is divided, everyone owns everything. Which means what? That you have chalal ownership in a little piece of every single eved. Chalal ownership prevents what? Prevents ultimately, again, the avodim from going ahead and eating truma. So we'll say this is wild. So the Gemara suggests that this is the case of the Mishnah. What's the case of the one-day-old baby who prevents ultimately, again, truma consumption? Say, we thought it was talking about, again, the Bas Kohen whose Yisrael husband dies. No, that's an obvious case, because even though she's pregnant, she can't go ahead and eat truma anymore. So what's the case? The case is where ultimately, again, the Kohen has a one-day-old baby from his Grusha, illegal wife. The existence of that one-day-old baby will prevent all of the Avadim from eating truma. Ultimately, again, because of the quasi-halal ownership in each of those avadim. Incredible. Ulafukim Rabbi Yossi. And I will say this comes to us with Rabbi Yossi, who holds the Amar Ubar Nami Posel. I will say Rabbi Yossi holds that even the Ubar himself, even the existence of the Ubar, I will say this is part of a larger discussion. Ultimately, again, where Rabbi Yossi holds that halacha lemaisa, the Uber already has certain rights in utero. So the Mishnah is coming to go ahead and exclude that position that an Uber has no impact. For example, if the Kohen were to die, and ultimately, again, his Grusha wife were pregnant, then what Rabbi Osei, what would be the status of the Avadim? They can eat Truma. Why? Because they're going to be inherited by the legal sons, by the kosher sons, right? The Uber of the Grusha has no impact. So to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the Uber, Nami Posel, Kamash Olan Ben Yom Echad in Uber Lo. Comes teaching Yossi ultimately again that only a one-day-old baby has the ability to pasal the kohanim from, sorry, to pasal the avodim from eating truma, but ultimately an Uber would not. Incredible. Nochel umanchil. Shavuos, he has the ability, the Uber, right? Sorry, not the Uber. The one-day-old baby has the ability to what? To inherit and to bequeath. Nochel miman. Shavuos, who does he have the ability to inherit from? So me aviv. He has the ability to inherit from his father. Umanchil laman. And who does he have the ability to bequeath to? Le'echav me aviv. To his paternal brothers. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. To his paternal brothers, e by me avua liarsi, v by me neilarsi. Let's say the truth is for the paternal brothers, it's really just a question of semantics. In other words, remember, it's true, the one-day-old baby has the ability to inherit from his father, and his ability to bequeath to his brothers would be what kind of case? Where the father dies, right? And let's say the baby is born, right? The baby boy is born Friday morning. Father dies Friday afternoon. So what happens? That means that what? That the baby gets a share of the inheritance. Let's say the baby dies Friday night. So what happens? So obviously the baby's portion of the inheritance, what happens? It's divided up amongst the brothers, the paternal brothers. So the Gemara says, so really the brothers, in this case, the brothers are going to get the share regardless. And if the one-day-old baby dies, lemaisa again, so whether they're going to get the share directly from the father or they're going to get the share from the brother, either way they get in the same estate. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Sheshes, in other words, we're looking for a more novel case. Amar Rav Sheshes, benochal benichseaim, lahanchil la'achiv mina'av. So I'll say, this is incredible. What happens if the one-day-old baby is the only heir of his mother? So I'll say, now listen to the following case. Sa'aloch l'maysa, if the mother gives birth, and let's say again, she right after she gives birth, she passes away. There's, right, and that baby is the relative of the mother. So what happens? Let's say there's no father in the father has already passed away. So what happens? That baby totally inherits the mother. If that baby subsequently dies, then ultimately again, where does that property go? Well, if there are paternal brothers, then ultimately again, the paternal brothers will inherit the estate of the one-day-old deceased baby. Even though, where does that estate come from? That estate comes from the mother of the one-day-old baby, who may or may not be is not the mother of the paternal brothers. Okay, good. Because says the Gemara, we're just looking for a more complicated case. Says the Gemara, we were successful in that. So says the Gemara as follows: V'dafka ben yom echad. And I will say the only way this works is if the baby is 1 day old. It's only a 1 day old baby who has the capacity to inherit and to bequeath. Aval uber lo. But I will say aloch alamaisun uber does not have the ability to go ahead and inherit the mother. My time, why is that? Dahamispiresha. Because we'll say if the mother dies, the Uber dies first. In other words, even if you want to say that the Uber has its own identity, right? So the Gemara is presupposing that when ultimately, again, the mother dies, the Uber dies first. So the Gemara says, Ve'ein ha-ben yoresh esimo bekever. This is actually very interesting. And ultimately, again, one thing is clear, which is a son does not have the ability to inherit his mother from the grave. Which means we'll say inheritance is a din in the living. Right, so remember again, a son cannot posthumously go ahead and inherit his mother. So listen to this, we'll say, "La'anchil la'achiv mina'av." Ini, is that true? So we'll say, the Gemara is asking over here, is that true that if a woman is pregnant and ultimately again she dies, that the uber dies before her? Is that true? V'ha'hava uvda. There was an episode like this. What happened? Where a pregnant woman passed away. Upirches ad klasa perhusei. And we saw the fetus moving inside of her, right? Whereas we saw the baby kicking or moving, three movements. So we'll say that sounds like what? That sounds like even after the mother dies, the Uber could still be alive. It's no different than cutting off the tail of the lizard, where even if you cut off the tail of the lizard, what happens? Right? It moves around even after it's detached from the lizard. So we'll say, so again, remember, the truth is, a baby can survive even after the mother is dead. But remember again, this is also just another example. This is what Chazal understood of medicine. Again, this is just rooted in what they thought at those times. So their assumption was that if the mother dies, the fetus definitely predeceases the mother. Okay, and they're attributing any movement of the fetus after the mother to just some type of reflexive movement, not indicative of life. So the words Amar Mar Rav Ashi. So I'm sorry, Mar Bereid Rav Yosef Mishmei Rava Amar Lomar Shemen Ma'it Bechelik Bechora. So I will say what this means over here is as follows. That the existence of the one-day Uber has the ability to diminish the shear of the Bechora, right? The amount of the firstborn's inheritance. Ben Shenolat Acher Misa Sav, if a son is born after the father passed away, Eino Memait Bechelek Bechora. That son ultimately, again, does not diminish the portion of the firstborn. So I'll say what it's saying is like this. On a very simple level, the existence of a one-day-old baby makes him a bona fide inheritor. That's really what it's saying. Therefore, the Bechor's Pishnayim is going to be less, ultimately, again, because of the existence of this one-day-old brother. My time, what's the reason for that? So we'll say, I'm sorry, because this supports the idea that Ben Shenolot Acher Misasav. So we'll say, it's very interesting halacha. Let's say again, Reuven passes away. And Reuven leaves behind, you know, four sons and a pregnant wife. And after Reuven passes away, what happens? Before the estate is divided up, his wife gives birth. I might have thought that maybe halacha l'maisa, that son, because the estate has not yet been divided up, that son should have in this should have a portion in the inheritance. Kamashalan, that's not the case. Kamashalan, that if the son was not alive at the time that the father was alive, that son does not participate in the inheritance. My taima, what's the reason? V'yoldu lo ba'inan. Because it will say, what does that say by inheritance? The Yoldulo. Yoldulo means it was born to him. Meaning that what? That in order for the child to participate in the inheritance division, he must have been born to the father while the father was still alive. Besura Masnuhachi, Bepumpadisa Masnuhachi. So we'll say this was the version in Surah. Pumpadisa had a little bit of a different version. Amr Marbre Drav Yosef, Mishmei Durava, Bechor Shenolat La'acha Misas Aviv, Eino Notel Pishnayim. We'll say, listen to this. If you have a Bechor who was born after the death of the father, that Bechor does not get a double portion. My taima, what's the reason? Yakir ba'inan v'haleka. Because we'll say the lashon that the Torah uses is yakir. The father shall recognize the firstborn. So we'll say, it's interesting enough, this is the meaning of Parshas Kiseitze, right? When it's talking about two sons, right? The Ben Ahuva, the Ben Asnua, the Bechor is the Ben Asnua to the wife that he doesn't like. The apostle never says yakir. A father must recognize the firstborn as the firstborn, even if it's not from his favorite wife. The Gemara is expanding that drasha to mean that what? In order for a Bechor to be a Bechor, what has to happen? Ultimately, the father has to recognize him. Yakir. Yakir means what? He must be born at the time that the father was alive. V'haleka, v'hilchasa, kicholhani lishni demarbrei Rav Yosef mishmei derava. And I will say, indeed, the halacha follows all of these statements. So I will say, number one, that halacha l'maisa, again, that a one-day-old baby participates in the Bechora. Number two, that a Bechor that is born, or I should say, a son that is born after the father passes away does not participate in property division of the estate, does not participate in inheritance. And number three, that halacha l'maisa, a Bechor that is born after the death of the father does not get pi shnayim. To finish off the sugya, vahargo chayiv. So this is actually quite dramatic. If you kill a one-day-old baby, you are chayiv misa. You're chayiv misa. So I will say, by the way, this is also very important, because remember, what else does this mean? Remember, at what point in time is the baby considered to be a one-day-old baby? At what point? Right? So remember, again, the moment that the forehead comes out. Which I will say is very important contemporarily as well, right? In the sugya of partial birth abortions, things like that. Meaning, again, it's ritzicha mamish. It's meaning, even though, you know, we spoke about abortion on Shavuos, and even though, again, there are some dramatic ideas in halacha in terms of permitting certain things, but one thing is clear: once a baby's born, it's born. In other words, then there's no longer any kind of discussion. Right, that's what the Mishnah is saying. It's ritzicha. It's mamish, no different than killing a 55-year-old person than to go ahead. So why? Why is that? So it says the Gemara v'hargo chayiv d'chsiv v'ish kiyake kol nefesh mikol makom. Because they will say the lashon that the Patori uses when it comes to ritzicha is ish kiyake kol nefesh. If you will kill anyone, kol nefesh, and kol nefesh comes to include what? Even the one-day-old baby. Mikol makom comes to include everyone. V'hari hula aviv uli imo l'chol krovav. So we'll say this last statement of the Mishnah is very strange, right? What does it mean? And he is like to his father and to his mother, like a chassan, right? Like a complete chassan. Says Mirabel, says incredible. What exactly is the ramification of that statement? To which the Gemara says, "Amar Papa le'inyan avelos." It was an incredible idea that if a one-day-old baby dies, so ultimately, again, his parents and his family mourn him as if he was 20 years old. In other words, the kichasan shalim, right? The halachas of avelos apply completely, ultimately, again, even to a one-day-old baby. So kiman, Rabbi, whose opinion does this reflect? The loker of Shimon Gamliel. This is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why? The Amar kol shesha shloshim yom ba'adam eino nefel. Halosha safek avi. So what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, that halacha lemaisa, if a baby is not considered to be viable until 30 days, once the 30-day mark has passed, then ultimately, again, the baby is considered well. Now, I want to be clear. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will therefore say that halacha lemaisa, a baby that is within 30 days that dies, you do not mourn. Meaning, when I say you don't mourn, you understand? Meaning, we don't mourn halachically, right, for that baby. There is no obligation of avelos for that baby. Why? Because within 30 days, it is not yet viable. And I just want to be clear. Even if Shem Gamlil would agree that what? That what's the halacha if you kill that baby? Right? It's still Ritzicha. Why Rabbi say it's no different than if somebody is, let's say, a goses. Let's say someone is dying. And you know what? You go ahead, mamish, they're gasping their last breaths, and you just say, no, put him out of his misery. And you put a pillow over his face. We'll say, what's the halacha? You're a murderer. Anything you do, meaning, even if you hasten the death of someone who is definitely going to die, right? So going ahead and shortening life in any way is ritzicha. It's very important. This is also dramatically important for end-of-life decisions. Anything you do that actively shortens life is murder, is ritzicha. So I will say, so therefore, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that if you go ahead and you kill this baby, right, within 30 days, of course that's ritzicha. What he's saying is, hilchos avelos, it applies to a viable life, right? A viable baby. Within 30 days, it's not clear that it's viable. Only once it passes the 30-day mark is it clear that it's viable. So what does Rav Shimon will do with the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah seems to indicate that what? That halacha lemaisa, even a one-day-old baby you mourn for, to which the Gemara says, hachamayaskinon, tekim leishakalu chadashov. And we'll say, what's the case here? Where we know for sure the baby was a full-term baby. So we'll say, it's a very interesting halacha that's coming out over here, which is, if you were to know with absolute certainty that the baby was a full-term baby, then even at one day old, it's viable. And therefore, even at one day old, if it were to die, you would mourn it like a regular avelos. The challenge, so therefore, that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is talking about a baby that we know was a complete full-term baby. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, even if it dies at one day old, you mourn it. Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking about a baby where what? Where halacha lemaisa, we're not sure if it was a full-term baby or not. Therefore, what if it passes the 30-day mark? It's viable, and you mourn it. If it doesn't pass the 30-day mark, then it's not. Then it's a suffix if it's viable, and ultimately you don't want to. So this goes back to the idea that, remember again, whenever you have a suffix in avelus, you always go lekula. We always resolve it leniently. So if the baby dies within 30 days, and I don't know if it was a full-term pregnancy or not, we don't want to be roasted. Just halacha lemaisa, how do we pass in this situation? So I will say, the way we pass contemporarily is, there is no hilchos avelos for a baby that dies within 30 days. Because we treat such a baby like that as a suffix nefel. Right? We're just not sure what the status of the baby is. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, pass away within 30 days, rahman al-islam, there's no formal obligation for avelos. After 30 days, ultimately, again, is when there is an obligation for avelos. All right, we'll stop over here at the Mishnah. I'll record the parsha thought of Meretz Hashem after davening. Shkoyach.